If you need a new roof or a repair, Easton Roofing will take care of you. Estimates are always free and suggestions are built on integrity. Visit EastonRoofing.com for more information. Get back to business faster with Easton Roofing. Easton Roofing. Integrity matters.
Welcome back to the Border Patrol on Sports Radio 810 WHB. That was Jeff Darlington from NFL Network talking about no preseason games. Let's talk to Matt Derrick from ChiefsDigest.com. You can follow him on the Twitter if you would like to. At Matt Derrick is his handle. Matt, good morning. How are you?
I'm good, Stephen. How are you doing this morning?
Doing very well. We're getting predictions from everyone leading up to tomorrow's opener between the Royals and Cleveland. Yesterday, Mike Boddicker sent shockwaves through the Union Broadcasting headquarters and around Kansas City as he picked the Royals to win 33 games, which would put them at 6 games above 500 for the season. And now that we find out they're likely to expand the playoff field this year, I think that would put them in the playoffs. And so, and other people not as aggressive as Mike Boddicker in their predictions. What say you, Matt Derrick? I know you cover football, but you've got your eye on the Royals. Give us a win total. How many wins in a 60-game season for the Royals this year?
You know, I really wanted to believe after I know that they had a pretty good spring training, and you know, and it seemed like things were going really well in summer camp. But gosh, those two exhibition games, just the three exhibition games, just took a lot of my enthusiasm out and optimism. So I am hoping they win 25. It might be less than that, but I hope they get there. But good grief, Boddicker's prediction, I would take it a heartbeat. That would be great.
Oh, absolutely. I think we'd all be very happy with that. Now, how many wins would you predict for the Royals if Patrick Mahomes was on the team?
Gosh, be at least 40, right?
That's right.
I mean, I don't think there's any doubt there.
The correct answer is 43 wins if Mahomes was playing for the Royals.
How are you doing?
Which I think would be the best record in all of baseball. And so now on to football. It's not a surprise at all. The players were not interested at all in playing any preseason games, which is funny. I'm not interested in ever watching any preseason games. And so no preseason games. So what's your reaction?
Yeah, you know, and I heard your bit from Jeff Darlington there and completely agree with it. I mean, I think it's interesting because, you know, the bulk of the players, which is your veterans, don't care for preseason games. I mean, you know, it's valuable to them. They like to be able to get the rust off, get the timing down. But other than that, yeah, I mean, veterans hate preseason. The preseason is vital for guys who don't get a lot of snaps and haven't played anything. And that's where I think you're going to really see the difference from, you know, the lack of preseason games, is especially with rookies on defense, because it's not always so much the speed that they have to catch up with. That's a big part of it. But you always hear them talking about training their eyes and just learning to see everything in the game. You know, seeing it in college and seeing it in the NFL is completely different. And that takes time. It takes snaps. It takes reps. And you can't do all of that in a practice, especially at practice speed, because practice speed and game speed aren't the same thing. So, yeah, I think it's going to be really challenging for, you know, younger players, guys who haven't had a lot of snaps, especially the rookies, to get in there without any preseason games. The stadiums probably aren't going to be full. There's not going to be a lot of fans. So maybe the, you know, excitement of going in and playing in front of 76,000 people won't be the same thing, you know, as the kind of live bullets, as they say, firing in a regular NFL game. But that's still, I think, going to be a challenge.
That's a good thing for the Chiefs, isn't it, compared to these other teams?
Absolutely. I mean, I still think the conventional wisdom that this offseason favors the Chiefs, absolutely, because they have very little turnover in coaching or the players. You've got guys who have played together for a while, especially on the offense, so they've got the timing down. That's not going to take much to get back, and I think that they can do that. But you look at a team like Tampa Bay that's gone through a lot of changes and bringing a lot of people in. If you really only get maybe a handful of padded practices at the end of August, I think that's going to be really tough to, you know, to get a team like that that has never, even with some of the workouts they've done on their own, I think it's going to be really tough for a team that's got a lot of new pieces to try and fit them together in a short period of time.
Matt Derrick is our guest. Look, like, I mean, like you said, it's, boy, a tremendous uphill battle for any undrafted free agents or maybe even some guys that were taken late in the draft trying to make this football team. And Brett Veach and the Chiefs had a pretty good eye for talent like that. But, I mean, there's only so much you could do with a limited amount of padded practices and no preseason games. Boy, you really got to trust what you've seen on film and your scouts and your system. And look, hey, right now, I think we feel pretty good about putting the Chiefs and their organization, their scouting department up against anyone else. But it is going to be very interesting to see if any of these players, because I thought the Chiefs, there was a couple of players the Chiefs were pretty excited about that they were able to land in the free agent signing period after the draft, but those guys are really going to have the odds stacked against them.
Yeah, and that's you know, the thing that I know the coaches are going to be disappointed in is, you know, losing maybe those 10 guys with the talk that it's going to be 80-man rosters for training camp rather than 90. And that's brutal to see because, you know, those 81 through 90 guys might be long shots. They're still vital to have around. I mean, they're great for the coaches for depth. They'd like to be able to have that. But, you know, it's also, guys have come from that range to make rosters. So, you know, them not getting the chance is going to be tough. But, yeah, the reps that players have missed, yeah, for undrafted guys, it's going to be really tough. And like I said, I mean, I think it's going to be a year where, you know, offensive rookies are going to have an easier time of it than on the defensive side without these snaps. But I think it's going to be tough all around for young players to try and make an impact this year.
If there's one position on the field where that actually does hurt the Chiefs, it's got to be at corner, right? Like they drafted a couple of guys there. They don't have a lot of depth there. Where do you see that position shaking out, considering that where they are with that position going into the season?
Yeah, I think that's the scariest position that the Chiefs have because you're right. I mean, they don't have a ton of depth. They've brought in, you know, mostly a lot of young guys. You know, they brought in Hamilton from the Giants that, you know, they're talking up. They believe that he could be able to make an impact. But that would really only give you, if Bashaud Breeland misses the beginning of the season, that would really only give you three guys that with, you know, Rashad Fenton and with Chavarius Ward that could, you know, are veterans that could play in the rotation. And, yeah, I mean, that's a tough position for a rookie to come in and try and get meaningful snaps from. But they are probably one injury away from that being exactly the case. And I think that they're at least prepared a little bit to guard against that in that, you know, you can use Tyrann Mathieu in the slot as a little bit of a corner, maybe only have to put two corners on the field at once if you go with some three and four safety looks because they're really deep at safety. That's the alternative. But, yeah, I mean – I think that position group is one injury away, and I don't think you want anything to happen to Chavarius Ward because if that happens, I think that position group is in a world of hurt.
And look, it's Clyde Edwards-Helaire. You don't worry too much, like you said, about the running back position, but the two guys that defensively in this draft were expected to step in and help. You know, Willie Gay Jr., linebacker, and as you mentioned, they drafted a couple of corners, but L'Jarius Sneed to step in and be able to play right away. Those are going to be the two names, the two players that we watch closest, because I think if things were normal, that they both of those players would be expected, especially Willie Gay Jr., to make a big impact this year, right?
Yeah, and, you know, I think the potential is still there, but I think at the same time, yeah, I think you got to, you know, temper a little bit of your enthusiasm for how much, you know, impact Willie Gay might make. I don't think it's tempering on the talent, because the talent is there. But, you know, and Steve Spagnuolo had already told us that, you know, he kind of pictured using him as in kind of a Reggie Ragland type of usage, which could certainly mean that, you know, if what you're looking at is that maybe he doesn't see as much time early on in the season, but his playing time will pick up as the season goes along. I think that's pretty likely under this kind of a scenario. But I think the plan for him was always to be a fairly situational type player. So I don't think that, you know, I think the expectation that Willie Gay is going to go out there and play 80 to 100% of the snaps, probably on a little bit too high. But if he's a guy who can be a rotational player, I think that's all that they're looking for this year, is to get him on the field, to get the kind of reps he needs to develop and learn, get his eyes up, get the speed up, and just help him progress. I mean, I don't think they're looking for him to necessarily be a starter this year, but if he develops into that, they'll take it. But I don't think that's the plan for him right now.
Matt, what do we expect in terms of, are we going to get like daily updates from the team once guys start rolling in and the COVID tests start happening about who's testing positive or how many people are testing positive? Because obviously we have to expect that's going to be at least part of camp, right? Just like it has been with the Royals, we're going to see some positive tests at some point. Are they going to tell us who and when and what?
Your guess is as good as anybody else at this point. I mean, the NFL's transparency so far on this has been pretty limited. And, you know, and they're still hammering out the details. So to a degree, you know, it's because they don't know what their plan for testing is completely. It appears that they've got the parameters of the deal kind of, you know, lined up and everything as far as how the frequency of the testing and the process and everything. But no, when it comes to the transparency of what they're going to tell us, you know, we're still going to get kind of the same, you know, updates, in that, you know, the Chiefs will have the PR spokesperson come out and on the Zoom calls and tell us who didn't practice each day. But, you know, will they tell us that, you know, so-and-so did not practice due to personal reasons, or, you know, was not feeling well? You know, we don't know. I mean, and I know there's been some indications that maybe the NFL won't be as transparent as Major League Baseball has been, and the Royals have been particularly. But I that's all still up in the air. I mean, we just don't know how the NFL is going to handle it. And I look at the NFLPA this week, you know, that on their COVID-19 page, earlier this week, they said 95 players had tested positive, and then they changed it to 59, and then they took that measurement just completely off their dashboard. So who knows what they're going to tell us at this point.
Matt Derrick's our guest. Matt, I don't know if you realize this, but sometimes I go overboard in my praise of Patrick Mahomes. Although, how can I really? What's overboard, huh? I don't know what that means. Right, that's right. And so during the Chris Jones Zoom conference, when he said that, me personally, I kind of had a feeling that a deal was going to get done. Crazy story, actually. When Pat's deal got done, as soon as his deal got done, Pat texted me and said, let's get this thing done. I left some on the table. Let's get this thing done. And Chris Jones said, that's when I had the security that me and the Chiefs were going to work something out. I was confident that they were going to make sure we got something done. I mean, you know, I love you, Patrick. That's all. More of a statement. Matt Derrick. I mean, how can you not? I mean, just what the hell, man? Everything he says is golden. And then he's texting Chris Jones right after his contract to make sure Chris Jones is happy, working behind the scenes, just getting everything done, leader on and off the field, Matt Derrick. Isn't that right?
I mean, I can't poke any holes in that, no. I mean, and you look at the cash outlays that they're going to give to Mahomes in the first 3 or 4 years of that deal, and there's absolutely no doubt that the Chiefs are getting below market. I mean, you look at what the top players are getting in, you know, in 3 years in cash, and you look at even what, you know, a Dak Prescott's probably going to get if he gets tagged a bunch of times with the Cowboys. Patrick Mahomes took below market. And, yeah, I mean, so he could absolutely be telling Chris Jones, hey, I left some money on the table for you for that couple of years. Go get it. It's yours. Now, you know, hey, the plan is that eventually he's going to get that money back. And, you know, and he's looking at the big longer term as far as he's going to get, you know, $500 million. But, yeah, I mean, the fact that he was willing to negotiate a deal the way that he did, that kept the cap number where it did for the next few seasons, I think that's an indication that he wanted to make sure that they can keep some of this team together and keep some talent around him.
And you said, we're going to lock you in. You said 25 wins. Is that where we're at for the Royals?
I'm crossing my fingers. I mean, I've got some fears that maybe it'll be the under, but I'd like to think that they can do it. But, yeah, like I said, watching these last three games, whew, man, I took some of the starch out of my shirt.
Do we have an over-under or win total, Pounders? Have
Vegas Jake's got to know that.
I was going to say, Jake, do you know what it is?
I think it was 12. I'll double-check that right now.
12?
For Royals.
Oh, yeah. I thought you were talking Chiefs.
I'll bet you it's like 23. That's my guess. That's what I'm setting the Vegas over-under at.
25.
Oh, it's close. Look at you, Matt Derrick.
Oh, Matt Derrick, right on the
Vegas.
Get off the fence.
Oh, man.
Get off the fence. You got to go over or under. You got to do something here.
So 20, I'll put it at 25 and a half.
Oh, man.
No, then he can keep it at 25. I want him to make a damn decision. It's at 25. You said 25. You got to go over or under.
Let's
wallet out.
I'm going to bet over. Let's gamble.
Attaboy.
Hey. There he is. There's the gambler. Matt Derrick, thank you very much for the time. I'm sorry to push you to 26 wins, but we had to get something done, all right?
Hey, we got to do what we can, man. Take care, guys.
Very good. That's very good. So what would you go? Over, under?
Under.
Whatever. Jake? I mean, Boddicker's laughing at you. Boddicker's got 33.
Well, we'll see.
Did you know that? Did you know Boddicker said 33?
I heard you say that this morning. I didn't hear him yesterday, but I think Boddicker's
Is that stunning to you?
He's been pretty aggressive the last few years. I think he's picked the Royals to win a lot more games than they ended up winning each of the last several years. So, I like his optimism. I hope he's right and I'm wrong. The pitching just is a major problem to me. Like, I can squint and see a major league lineup there. But I can't squint and see a major league pitching staff, and I'm excited to see Brady Singer. That has me excited. And then these three exhibition games did not make me feel any better about the pitching. So I just
I thought you were, hey, don't look at the preseason or exhibition or
something. Well, yeah, you're right. But this is I never really pay attention to July preseason baseball. I don't factor those numbers.
You never say anything about summer camp.
No.
Do you pay attention to summer camp?
No. Except for Bobby Witt Jr. I pay attention to his numbers in summer camp because I love him.
I know that, hey, don't be putting no modesty curse on Bobby Witt Jr. Super modesty.
No. That's right.
Hey, you know what?
I don't believe in
your
him.
Your support, not allowed.
Gotcha.
Not welcome.
Understood.
I know a lot of people are down on the Royals, but I thought Jake was rolling out a 12 win prediction. Good no, God, Jake really thinks they suck. Like, okay, I mean, hey, they had 9 walks yesterday, but I mean, whatever. It's, you know that? What's crazier that or predicting 33? I don't know. So you go over under then, Jake, if it's a 25.
Oh man, I think I said 28 yesterday or 29, but I'm
giving you a chance to reestablish yourself after some deep thought.
I'd go under.
In one day,
yep.
You fell from 28 and now you're under 25 in one effing day.
Yep. Yeah.
Hey, that's
what
the way
happened?
The world's changing
what
these days.
No, I want to know what happened in the 24 hours that you just took 4 wins away from this ball team.
What happened is that you made me think about it with my pocket. That's what happened.
When have you ever done that when you bet?
Yeah,
I mean,
he thinks with his pocket all the time. You don't know what's in there.
You have to have a certain freedom when you're wagering. You know what I mean?
Yep. You got to go commando.
Is this all because Hunter Dozier is tested positive? I mean, that's a. He's got Hunter Dozier as like a 4-win guy then, Nate, huh?
Big time war. Big time war from Hunter Dozier right there.
My goodness.
So the pitching. Yeah.
I'm going to give you one more cat. That's fine.
So I checked another source, and it has 24 and a half. My guy.
That's better,
I might go 25. I might go over on 24 and a half.
Yesterday, you'd have jumped all over that. Today, nothing.
Nothing.
Just back and forth.
He's looking for value. Pounders is looking for value right now.
Right.
And you're under the 24.5, Nate, too?
If I had to bet on it, I don't know. I put it at 23, so I guess I'll just stick with it and say, yeah, I think they're going to be about around 23, 24 wins.
I'm going to go with the over.
I like it. I like your optimism.
If the number's 24.5, it's got to get me to 25 and 35. That ain't.
I think the White Sox are going to be better. You know, they went out and spent money. And they brought in players.
Look, Boddicker's influencing me. Him picking 33 has thrown me off.
It did.
I'm not sure how.
You were taken aback by it.
Right, did he give any good reasons?
Does he ever?
Yeah, I was going to say. What? You know who we're talking about?
I'm trying to get him to text me something smart.
I feel like his reason would be because nobody else thinks they're going to win that many games, and so he wants
But that's why it gives me pause, because I'm thinking 24.5, you got Boddicker over here with 33. Like, why shouldn't I be on 25? I don't know. It's given me a lot to think about. Brady Singer makes me happy.
Yeah.
So we'll see.
I'm excited to watch him pitch.
Let's talk to Gary Singer, because he likes to sing sometimes on this show.
Yep.
Back, and he'll give us the weather. Back after this on WHB.